Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio program brought to you by ReaderFuse.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I have invited on the program author Phyllis Reed to talk about her fantastic new book titled Anchor in the Spirit as God Beings, More Than Mere Human. So a little bit about Phyllis. Phyllis Reed holds a master's degree in clinical social work, an honors degree in psychology, and a bachelor's degree in behavioral science. She works as a psychotherapist, behavior modification specialist, and traumatologist with adults and children. She is trained in journalism and dramatic arts and has worked in journalism and stage and film. She has been a metaphysical truth practitioner for over 30 years. Phyllis is also the executive director of Transformers International, a not-for-profit youth development agency in Miami, which focuses on youth empowerment, mentoring, and trauma resolution in children. And you can find out more about Phyllis, her book, and her work at anchorinthespirit.com. So I'm just so happy to have Phyllis on the program today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Phyllis.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, great. Well, I'm so happy that you're here. You know, I'd like to just kind of start by finding out the backstory about your new book, because I know that you originally wrote this back in 1988, I believe it was. So it's been almost 20 years before you've actually published this book. So tell us a little bit about how you came to write it in the first place.
Well, it started out, I migrated to this country in the late 70s. And, of course, going through the adjustment phase from culture to religion to race to all of that, and it was quite a struggle. It really was. It really confronted me in a lot of areas. So I stepped out, I turned to spirituality to find a coping method. And so I took all of the early through the late 80s and just delved heavily 8-9 years into spiritual pursuits. And by 88, I experienced in that time a total transformation from the anxiety-ridden, fear-filled woman to one centered in peace and calm. And I decided to write down, just jot down some of what I experienced as caused this transformation. And I outlined it and planned to use it in workshops, which at the time I called Mountaintop Living, Transformation from Human to Spirit Consciousness.
Mm.
And in passing it to friends, they really impacted their lives too. And they suggested that I publish it. Well, it sat on the shelf from 1988 to 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And through all of time, of course, I went back to school. I studied. I do lots of different things. And then divine discontent set in by early 2007. I gave up my psychotherapy clinical practice and just decided to publish the book to help people cope, because I saw firsthand the stress level among not only parents, but as well as associates and my jobs, nurses, teachers, and, of course, our precious little children.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, let me publish this book and hopefully offer a level of hope to the community in general to cope with the stresses of today's lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you grow up in a spiritual household or with a religious background, or did you just come upon this through this journey that you took?
Oh, no. I was brought up very, very, very strict Catholic until, you know, the middle teenage, about 16, 17. It just was not, you know, we start having questions, and I couldn't get answers to these questions within me and without. And so I started my spiritual search. And this led, I actually was at the time in advertising, marketing, And I remember working with a book, Norman Vincent Peale, you might might have heard about him.
Mm-hmm.
Positive, you know, enthusiasm makes a difference. You can if you think you can. And reading and studying those for sales marketing, it just opened up this tremendous explosion of spirituality within me. So I started just using that, and from that, I was guided into new thought. This was in Jamaica, of course. A friend introduced me to the Unity School of Christianity and its teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It just took off from there.
So what now, you know, you use the word God in your title, and you grew up Catholic, though obviously your spirituality has changed through the years. So with so many interpretations regarding the concept of God, tell us what your understanding is at this point.
I think the major difference, let's say, from mainline Christianity and what we might perceive of New Thought, which is really the age-old wisdom of the ages, is that mainline tend to have you focus on a God outside of you in a heaven that you're forever striving to reach, to attain, whereas the New Thought focuses you on the spirit within you, the breath of the Almighty, the God. It's innate in our DNA. We are first spiritual beings, offsprings of God. And we know that as we take a breath. Without the breath, we know that we leave this body, we die.
Mm.
So this is, and once we connect with that spirit within, the wisdom, the God of the ages, it just takes you through all of the avenues of transformation.
I know.
And this is what I did. It's mostly done through, of course, learning. There is a part of it that intellectual learning to help change the long, age-old beliefs that we hold on to, that's passed on through generations and family traits and so on. And then you go through prayer and meditation, prayer, when you reach out, ask, seek, knock, and meditation, you become still and allow the spirit of God within you to teach you. And it's just awesome. That is real transformation.
Okay, so you're saying that the first step is to change the old beliefs that have been obviously patterned from generation to generation, and once you do that, your natural birthright, that God DNA that you talk about, basically kicks in or unfolds or is just there?
Yes, it kicks in. It unfolds. But there are certain things we must do, like in everything else. We have to take the time. And this, in today's fast pace where time is of the essence, I outline in the book the simple steps. We can just start daily, early, we'll get up in the morning, simple thing, just focus in.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, God, love, whatever it is. And then throughout the day, we can have simple seconds and at night. But yes, we must need, there is a discipline to it, the disciples, the disciplined one. And once we do that, it takes us in that process of transformation.
So tell us a little bit about your book, because I know it is split up into four distinct sections. So tell us about these sections.
Yes, it is in four sections. And in writing, in organizing the book, what I wanted more than anything else was to, 4 points really, I wanted to make it simple and straightforward for readers to get it without going through the maze that I had to do to decipher technical terms and phrases. I wanted it to be as authentic as possible, that is, relating my own experience. I did not want it to simply mimic, you know, a lot of the major books on the market or
right.
so on.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that it would be a sort of hands-on guidebook, easy to understand, easy to carry, easy to read, easy to put in practice. Once I decided on those 4 points, I was then able to organize it, and I did it in 4 sections. The first section dealt with the thoughts and beliefs that we must need change or incorporate from just this poor human, suffering human being,
mm-hmm.
to the more child of God,
mm-hmm.
born with all of the gifts of the Spirit to enable us to live and cope. Then in section 2, it offers the intellectual and spiritual enlightenment needed to transform the intellect or the mind to awaken us to spirit. Section 3 presents the thoughts, beliefs, method to employ to attain spiritual mastery and live as a divine being. And then section 4 presents living as a spiritual being. And it succinctly lays out the path of one living the spiritual life.
Mm.
And of course, we end the book with God is calling. And this I added at the very last minute, having seen, experienced, and just came away from the work environment where so many wanted out of the rat race, but were torn between the job, the paycheck, providing for themselves and their families to be able to live that more peaceful life.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little more about that first step where you really have to have the intent that you do want to change. And, you know, you talked about the idea of suffering, because I from what I understand, that is where most people stumble, because we are so ingrained in that victim consciousness that we don't even really know that that's where we're going into the suffering. So what are your thoughts on that?
Without a doubt, you know, we come in planet Earth wallowing in, you know, the lineage, our human lineage. And it's presented in every facet, even before we, I think, in the womb, the food and everything that the parents drink, the culture,
mm-hmm.
we are then prepared to live as human beings. And we don't know the other aspect as a spiritual being. And to a large extent, even the more intellectual we become, the more we are led into that path of humanity. For myself, I was blessed to be brought up with a father who believed in education achievements.
Mm.
And from that perspective, even that strength and that knowledge, it propels you into this achieving,
mm-hmm.
the human achievement.
Mm-hmm.
So as we go towards that, we tend to move away from the spirit. And it is the spirit that carries us. As the footprint says, when you are unable to carry yourself, it is that which carries you.
Mm.
And so it's not that we sidestep our humanness. No, we don't let it go. We can't. We are in the body. But we must balance that.
Mm-hmm.
Balance it with the spirit. Because that's where real strength and power lies, in the spiritual.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying then that there is a way to balance that intellectual pursuit and the pursuit of being a human being with your divine nature and your spirituality.
Without a doubt. And that's the good life.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take sometimes, I in my pursuit over the certainly the 9 years that I documented, but I had started years before that, and I continue that. And I have, I have a library of like 3,000 books.
Oh, I bet
and
you
I
do.
And I did every reading, every seminar, every workshop, mm. every retreat to arrive at that point of knowledge and certainly transformation. But in the book, I hope that in reading it, one will come away with the knowledge that you really don't have to go through all of that. There are simple steps. There has to be a desire
mm-hmm.
that propels change always. We must, there's at most time it's suffering that leads us to want to change. In my situation, yes, it
mm-hmm.
was trying to cope and adjust to a new environment.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have that desire and it's strong enough, you step out. And basic things, it doesn't have to take days and hours and 8, 9, 10, 12 meditation and prayer as I did. But you have to have a certain discipline. In the morning, you can get up and focus within. Simple, plain. You know, God, you know, I don't know you. Somebody tells me there is a God. Help me, you know, in that talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just find segments throughout the day. I would say lunchtime. That was one of my favorite. I went and I sat down in my car, and I either did some meditation or I read some passage or passages. And simple things. In the book, I gave simple prayer, simple song, chants. You just sing, God, 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 peace, peace, peace. And this within itself will lead you and guide you.
So
the path for everybody is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But in going forth and trusting, then you will be guided.
And some type of daily practice is key to the transformation.
It is key. Without that, it is key. Without that, the transformation is very difficult.
So how does someone, you know, this is kind of a beginner type of a question, but how does someone really know when they've been spiritually transformed?
Ah, it's something that you will just know. I think more than anything else is that sense of peace.
Mm.
One day you wake up and there is that sense of stillness, that calm. And most times in the people who have known you before, they will look at you and say, something is different about you. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
But even in interaction, there is that level of peace emanating from you. And this is what they feel, and they sense a difference. That is, for me, was the very, very first thing. That sense of calm, of peace, of just trust and knowing. You just feel that you know something is happening and you have answers.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, your life begins to fall in place, so to speak. You don't become as anxiety-ridden and frightened. You know, you're able to go through experiences with a sense of calm. And it works out, because most of the time it's our fear and anxiety and stress and all of that cause problems to be problems.
Yeah, it really does attract that
negative
type of interaction or energy.
Oh, yes, without a doubt, yes.
You know, you mentioned that one of your inspirations for originally writing and now putting this book out is that there is just so much stress in today's homes, in schools, in the workplace, and it's really, really affecting people's lives. So what are you seeing through your practice, because you were a therapist for so many years? What is this continuous stress doing to us individually and then in society as a whole?
Well, we see it. We see it every day. First of all, in the drugs, the alcohol, the breakup of the families. When you go in the schools and you interact with teachers and counselors and it is just rampant, not to mention the children.
Mm-hmm.
The children that we hear that are so bad, that are so this in the juvenile halls, in the this, in the that. It is just a carry. It impacts every aspect. This is why I say for anchoring the spirit, it is to reignite the flame of peace and love and unity in individuals, from person to person, nation to nation. It really is. If we have a home where, and believe me, I've seen in clients, so, you know, I can really need to be talk from experience. However, when you have a home that is very, let's say the mother is extremely stressed out, you're walking that home, you're going to experience stress and chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it is a home where the mother or father is more or less in control, you know, calm and centered, then it permeates throughout the whole household. And this is why we have so much problem in the society today.
Mm-hmm.
We are coping at the pace of, I guess, the computer. You know, we touch a button and it travels all over the world. And we tend to overwhelm our coping system. We take on, or we are invited to take on, so much that we really can't get it all done in a day.
Right.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Amazon recently introduced Kindle, a revolutionary ebook reader that has outpaced expectations in sales. This is a sign that more people are turning to the digital delivery system of books as the practice of digital downloads spread. Let us help you get your printed book or ebook available for instant purchase on Amazon Kindle. You set your own price and collect 35% of list price on each sale. We will upload your book and optimize it for the best performance on Kindle. Please go to readerviews.com and link on the Services for Authors tab on the top menu bar. There you will find a link for more information on how we can upload your book for Kindle viewing today. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm speaking with Phyllis Reed about her book, Anchor in the Spirit as God Beings, More Than Mere Human. You can find out more about Phyllis through her website, www.anchorinthespirit.com. What are some of your suggestions filling your day with? Maybe I should say taking away things out of your day so you're not so busy, so you're not so stressed out and overwhelmed.
Well, first of all, we have to learn to say no. We have to tap into the self and know when, what is working for me, you know, and how. When we are overstressed and our schedule, we have 5 days in one day, and yet somebody, maybe a boss especially, adds something else or maybe a family or a friend, invite us, let's say, something to do for an hour or two. And we know we already are overwhelmed with our time. So we must learn to say no.
It's so hard.
It is so very difficult.
Yes.
Then the next step from that is whatever we have on our plate, we must learn to delegate or bring it to a certain level where we feel we are in control. Because stress and anxiety comes on when we feel overwhelmed. We are not able to cope. So this is our responsibility. Once we get it down and we organize it, perhaps going back, giving set dates or deadlines when this must be accomplished and that. And it will give us that sense of being in control and get it done. But we must learn to say no and stop trying to please the world and get involved in everything.
Do you find that, well, I think it's said that women, you know, want to do so much, and we really do want to please, and there is that aspect of women that that want to be of service, I guess. Maybe that's just the maternal instinct. Do you find that women have a harder time with that than men?
Oh, yes. Because, you know, if we are just being strong human beings, you know, female, and we say no, and, you know, we're going to get the labels. Whereas if it's a man, oh, he's strong and powerful.
Right.
By saying no.
Mm-hmm.
So we must needs know who we are and go beyond the perceptions. And this is what spiritual transformation does. It gets you out of being that pleaser, expecting nice compliments. You just stand in your power of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you are then able to say no. And if you choose, you can give an explanation. Or you just say, I'm sorry, no, not at this time. And yes, we as women, we are pleasers. You know, it's passed down from generations.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we are that. We are pleasers. We are nurturers. You know, we have to nurture, you know, babies, you know, children, husband, family, mother, parent, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe if we get around to it, we do a little thing for ourselves.
Ourselves, yes.
And so, yes, without a doubt. And we ladies have to address this issue. Because, you know, stress and anxiety shows up mostly in women as cancer, you know that.
Yes.
And then in the men, in the heart attack, and the, you know, so on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, we know the rise of, you know, the cancer and so over certainly the past few decades. So it is an area that we must address as women.
I imagine with women really, really being so out there in the work, in the workforce, in the workplace, and really putting, a lot of women are putting their careers first and being out there in the pursuit of their careers. I mean, we're probably feeling it as women, the need for some sort of spiritual grounding more than ever.
Without a doubt. For instance, when we are now in the workforce, and I am one of those career-driven ones from
yes.
an early age,
mm-hmm.
so I have first-hand knowledge of this. Not only are women out there in the workforce, and of course, there's the scrutiny is there for us to be perform. You know, we are under the microscope to perform as well or better than the man,
mm-hmm.
certainly as well. And when that happens, the demands are more demands are placed upon us. But that's just a part of the equation. The other side, we go into the home and we're still there with the children and the school aspect and so on. And then you can add another section, which is very common in society today, where we are parenting our elderly parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we have it compounded in so many ways. We must find ways to cope and to alleviate the stress. Whether you find a lot, not maybe, a certain percentage will do some exercise. Some will do massages or so on. But just to find a quiet time, maybe 5-6 minutes in the morning, at night, everybody's gone to bed, find 15 minutes to just calm down the system, read a nice little spiritual something, or do some, sit and do some breathing exercises, something. But the ones who practice this, they experience a better coping.
Mm.
The ones who don't normally end up in being sick.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love the way that you, part of your message is that you don't have to have some kind of practice that will go on for hours every day, that, you know, you can just take 5 minutes. And I think that that is really an important message in this day and age, because who has time to sit for hours
really,
a day?
Mm-hmm. Really, we already, you know, don't have much time for so many things. Over the years, I have said to a lot of people, I've met, I said, look, I have consecrated every bathroom because sometimes that was the only little place you could find to run into for 2-3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And you had that quiet, just close and just breathe something. That's what it takes. And the drama and the trauma in the 2-3 o'clock, just go to a ladies' room or a men's room and just find the minute he
mm-hmm.
quiet it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps. It makes all the difference in the world.
Resets you. It resets.
It centers.
Yes.
It recenters. It refocuses you. Of myself, I can't. There is a presence and a power within me that can help. And yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, Phyllis, you also mention in your book the idea of distraction and interference, and in the respect that, say, one person in a family unit is wanting to change, wanting to embrace their life from a more spiritual direction, and they may want to encourage their family or their friends to do the same, but then they meet resistance. So what is your advice for that situation?
My advice is do it for yourself. When you approach it for you, and let's say you change, you might become from that raving, screaming, shouting to a calmer person. Whoever is around you is going to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they're going to want to come aboard.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a mate, and when you change and you're a more calm, centered, maybe kind, loving mate, your mate is going to see this. And they're going to, same thing with family members. Same thing with co-workers. I remember people would say to me, what is it about you now?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, and out of that, I have had dear friends who I made the conscious choice to step out on the spiritual path. A lot of my loving friends now I could, I don't know if a lot, but certainly about 3, 4, 5 are people who saw something in me and say, what is this?
Mm.
And I would just say, well, you know, I read books, I study, and they will reach out, tell me a book or something. Because I would never, ever want to say, go to this church, go to that. No, I truly, truly believe when the desire is strong enough that you will be guided and led. As they say, when the student is ready, the master will appear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do it first. Do it for the self. Transform the self. Work at it. Be at peace. Experience peace and love and harmony within the self. And you radiate that out to others, and they will want whatever it is you want that brought you to this point.
And that's where real change will happen in this
that's
world.
That's where change is,
mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's walking our talk, you know?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So tell us about your work with youth. I know that you are really committing yourself to working with children at this point.
Oh, when I stepped out in about, what was it, 80, I was in the field of helping youth with my youth empowerment programs. 89 I started. And as time went on, I realized the plight the youth of society was in. So that's why I went back to school to become a counselor and keep studying. Now I started Transformers International in the early 90s. And due to my studies and my this and my commitment, I wasn't able to carry everything.
Mm.
But I'm totally, I mean, this is my passion of passion, is our youth. So now I have reopened my nonprofit Transformers International to focus on youth empowerment, mentoring, and more than anything else, resolving trauma in the children. Because it's an area that's totally overlooked. And they will offer children therapy for 4, 5, 6 years. It will work and they keep doing it. It doesn't last because the trauma that precipitated these changes must be addressed.
Mm.
Must. So this is what, and I'm very busy right now trying to get that up and running and so on. So this is my gift to my children and the society, our world. We have to. We must needs give back to our children.
We have to take care of our youth.
We must.
Mm-hmm.
It's our responsibility
mm-hmm.
as adults. We are part of the society because they came out innocent little babes. And it's our society that brought them to where they are today.
Mm-hmm.
So it is our responsibility to help them. And I'm very, very, very committed to doing that.
Do you find that a lot of youth today are disillusioned with the world they're finding themselves in?
But look at the confusion.
I know.
Even for us as adults who are able to see through and think and rationalize. But these are little children. They're not really developed emotionally, mentally, and so much is being thrown at them from the computer age, internet, this, and the society on the other hand is telling them they're no good, they're this, they're that. Poor things.
Mm.
There is mass confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And add to that, if you're in a home where, you know, they're not equipped to handle your questions and provide you with answers. That's why the inner city kids, you know, kids don't have that structured home life. You know, a lot of single parents, a lot of lower income, and it's just horrendous for children.
Mm-hmm.
We must needs reach, we can't give enough. We can't give enough to this segment of our population.
Yes, that's so true. Are the kids receptive to your message of spirituality? Is that something you incorporate?
Well, yes, I do it, but of course, you know, you have to sort of go back, because when I work with the children in this school, and you know, this school and spirituality, but again, I really believe when you become your message,
mm-hmm.
I remember once I was talking to a child, and I was using drama to help, you know, help her, and I just started singing this beautiful song, and in doing drama, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord. And she just be frozen. She looked at me and she said, who are you? It was just, I don't know if you're aware of this song, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord. And she, because children are real beautiful spiritual beings, it transported her, and she was able to feel the spiritual impact.
Oh.
And her way was just looking deep in my eyes and say, who are you? But you do impart. And when you impart with love and kindness and gentleness, which a lot of them are not accustomed to, then they feel it. They know it. They know it. So you can impart the spiritual essence. If, of course, you're in an environment like the schools where you're not allowed to, you know, use the standard spiritual words and so on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I do, and in everything I do with them, I impart love. No criticism, no condemnation, no judgment.
Mm.
Just help them to, and of course, the self-esteem. If you want to transform a child's life, improve the self-esteem.
That is
and
so
once
true.
They have that, they're going to go places.
Yes, absolutely. Very well said. So you are also, Phyllis, doing workshops at this point. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And most of my work now, I go, I do book signings and workshops. And I speak on some of the Truth Organization, the church's New Thought Method.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of New Age establishments, and yes, I present workshops there and book signings, speeches, and so on.
Is there any particular inspirational message that you're feeling is critically important at this time that you're passing forth in your workshops that people are really hungry for?
Yes, I think I term it spiritual the transformative journey.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really helping them, giving hands-on step approach. It's really how to overcome and alleviate this stressful lifestyle.
Mm.
That's what it is. And just sit and have them, you know, breathe for 2 minutes. And most of them will say, wow, at the end of it, I really felt different. Simple things, simple steps that they must take to change from stress and strain
mm-hmm.
to a more sense of calm and peace.
Mm-hmm.
So that transformative journey is one of my key workshops.
Great, great. So what's next for you? You're continuing the workshops. Are you writing still?
Yes, I'm still. Actually, I have 3 other manuscripts in the spiritual genre.
Oh.
But before I do that, I am now in the process, I'm a little off with scheduling for myself, in doing a boy-girl companion for young people, especially the inner city, what they term the at-risk kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming out of my experience working with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a manual for them, boys and girls, to help them through the mire of living in this lifestyle today.
So kind of a workbook?
Yes, I'm going to, yes, and I'm not going to self-publish that. I'm going to get it published in one of the children's publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm praying and knowing, I know it takes most time 2 years, but
I'm praying
and knowing by later this year they will, you know, we'll be able to get something out. And this is going to be, once I have those, I'm going to go in the school system right throughout the country, especially focusing on the inner city.
Mm.
At-risk kids. So
great work.
That's one of my big things. That right now, coupled with relaunching my Transformers International, where we have hands-on experience helping them.
Mm-hmm.
And once these two are done, then I go back to publishing in my spiritual genre.
You're a busy lady.
I am. Busy, too busy.
Oh, but the work is so, so needed, and it's such transformative work. So.
And it's so, so very rewarding.
I bet.
You work with a child and you see the transformation. There is nothing like it.
Mm.
And I'm really, really committed to that.
Mm-hmm. So listeners can purchase your book and find out more about you through anchorinthespirit.com, through your website?
Yes, that is the webpage for the book, yes. And
okay.
I'm also in the order through amazon.com. The distributors for my book are a divorce and company out of California
and a new leaf distributed in Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's available everywhere.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Phyllis, it's been wonderful talking with you. I'm just so happy that you came on the program today.
Oh, thank you. It's such a joy. It is really a joy.
Oh.
And I just pray and hope that in some way we have been, the listeners have been able to gain something that offers a little sense of hope to overcome and to cope with living today. It's a good life, but it's also a very stressful life.
Mm-hmm.
Or stress-filled.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that anyone listening to this interview today will be able to take something away. So I think we did good.
Thank you. I hope so.
Yes. So thank you so much, Phyllis. And I hope to be able to talk with you again in the future when you come out with your Boys and Girls workbook. It sounds just fascinating. So thank you again so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, there we go, listeners. I've been talking with Phyllis Reed. Her book, Anchor in the Spirit as God Beings, More Than Mere Human. This is available through local and online booksellers as well. You can go to Phyllis's website, anchorinthespirit.com, and there's plenty of information there about Phyllis and her work. So thank you once again for listening to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson. And until next time.